Happy Easter. Amen. He is risen. What a day. What a day. So stoked to be here this morning as we're coming over the beautiful hills, coming through the fields, and we see all these California wildflowers, and all the mountains are green. I love coming over here this time of the year. It's spring is in the air, and man, this day, almost 2,000 years ago, the world changed, and it would never, ever, ever be the same. And I am so stoked that I get to go and go through the Word with you this morning as we look at that glorious day. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I've titled today's message, Remembering God's Promises. Remembering God's Promises. On Friday, Pastor Richard talked about the events leading up to this moment. He talked about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of the week. He talked about the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the cross itself. And after Jesus was placed at the tomb on Good Friday, the disciples and other followers rested on the Sabbath, which would have been yesterday. Now we find ourselves this morning, this Sunday morning, the third day, which would have been the first day of the week, a Sunday morning just like today. But this would be no typical Sunday. This would be a Sunday that makes the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, hallelujah. Thank you so much. Father, today we reflect on one of the greatest miracles ever, you conquering death. Father, we've witnessed you as we've gone through your world. We've witnessed you raising people from the dead. And that in itself is so miraculous. But on this day, almost 2,000 years ago, you yourself conquered death. And what a glorious, glorious celebration we get to have today as we reflect on that powerful event, that powerful moment, that life-changing moment that gives us the assurance that everything you've said and everything you've done throughout the Bible can absolutely be trusted and true. Because you conquered death. So, Father, as we jump into your Word today, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would fill this room, would fill our hearts, would fill my heart, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would show us the importance of the resurrection, that you would sink into our hearts this glorious, glorious promise and event, that we would leave here broken, joyous, encouraged, excited, emotional because of what you did. Father, we ask that you would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So who is they? Well, we read earlier that these were the women who had been following Jesus. And we'll read later that these women consisted of Mary Magdalene, who had lingered at the cross long after the others. She was also the first at the tomb. And with her was Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and other devout women, hoping to finish preparing their Lord's body for burial. It's so interesting that these women were almost, could be considered the most faithful of all. They lingered there at the cross while Jesus suffered. They were first to arrive to prepare for the burial. And then in verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. But as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, I want to emphasize that word, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. You see, the tomb was blocked by a very large stone. It was a heavy, circular-shaped stone, so it could only be opened by several strong men. This was done to ensure that no one would disturb the remains. And it was also guarded by Roman soldiers. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that all of this was done at the request of the religious leaders. You see, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, it tells us in Matthew 27, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise. They remember. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, so that the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said, go ahead, have your guards secure that tomb. So these women arrived, and on their way there, they were worried about how they were going to roll the stone open. We also read that in Matthew. And they were wondering if the guard was even going to help them. They were discussing this, it says, when they arrived and saw that the stone had already been moved. And then these angels appeared, announced that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he had to remind the women what Jesus said. He had to remind them. More than once, Jesus had told his followers that he was going to go into the hands of sinners and have to die and rise again in 3 days. As we gather here on this Easter Sunday, some gather here every week, some of us here at church for the first time in months, some for the very first time in years maybe, maybe even there's somebody here for the first time, I don't know. I recognize all the faces though, so. Whichever category we fall in though, God is reminding all of us throughout this chapter that we need to remember his promises. We need to remember his words. So imagine their excitement as they remember Jesus' teachings and that he said he would rise again on the third day. Verse 9. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11. Judas was no longer with them. We learn that Judas, at this point, because of his guilt, went and committed suicide. So now there's just 11 apostles. And to all the rest, the other disciples that were there with him. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now get this in verse 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. These were the apostles. These are the people who would lead the church. These are the people who listen to Jesus' teachings the most. So these women, they're excited. They just had an experience. They were just reminded of God's words, God's promises. And I want to put ourselves in both of their shoes this morning, starting with the women. They just had their eyes open. They just had amazing news about Jesus. They just remembered his promises. They had a God moment. They had amazing news to share. And they thought for sure people from the church would be excited. People from the apostles who listened to Jesus' teachings, they would be totally excited. But they kept them and they went. They were not excited. They did not even believe it. You see, it can be pretty discouraging when we have exciting news to share, right? And we share that news, And the response is not what we accepted. How oftentimes do we know we have the good news, we have great news, and we share it with somebody, and they're not excited about it? We get discouraged. And we become a church that is no longer sharing the truth and promises of God anymore with anybody because we have been discouraged. But that should never take away our own zeal and excitement. You see, the promises of God are everlasting. And the apostles' disbelief did not change the fact that Jesus said he would rise again. And that Jesus had, in fact, rose again on the third day. And that those women had a first-hand account with the angels. Their disbelief did not change any of that. Now we put ourselves in the apostles' shoes. They were discouraged. They were frustrated. They were upset. They were grieving. They were angry. They were scared. They were feeling pretty hopeless at the time. And these women come in all excited about this great news, about these promises. And their first reaction was, that can't be true. After all, I didn't see the angels too. No angels appeared to me. And I think all too often we find ourselves in that same place when things aren't going our way. When we're feeling frustrated, discouraged, upset, scared, grieving. It's hard for us to see others excited. It's hard for us to celebrate when others are being blessed, when we're not being blessed. You see, we are all in the same boat, both the men listening and the women who have that excitement. You see, we often find it hard to believe sometimes because from our vantage point, nothing is looking good. And God surely is not blessing us or listening to our prayers right now. That's why it's hard to come to church sometimes and listen to the pastor tell us all these Bible stories and promises of God. The pastor always seems so excited. Obviously, everything's going right in his life. It's easy for him to talk about the promises of God and to celebrate and be so excited up there on the stage. That big old smile. He must be paying his rent and getting all his bills paid. Lucky guy. See, for these women who were in no different position than the apostles, technically speaking, nothing changed for them either. The only difference is that they were reminded of God's promises. You see, we're going to read later that Jesus had to come and remind the disciples and the apostles of his own promises. The only difference, the only reason I'm up here right now, is not because my life is a blessing. I mean, it is, but it's not all roses and spring and California wild flowers growing everywhere. You see, your pastors struggle with paying the rent and juggling all of the bills, just like all of you. We struggle with health issues. We struggle with medicine and outrageous medical bills. They don't give us a discount for medical bills. Can you believe that? What's wrong with this state? We deal with life. We deal with sickness and the pain of loved ones who pass away, just like all of you. Weekend before last, I was officiating the wedding. Weekend after that, I was at a memorial service. This is life, and we all deal with it. But why am I up here right now with a big smile and a loud voice, sounding all excited? Because I am reminded of God's word and God's promises, and all those things are secondary. Those things are just life. One of the blessings of getting to prepare every week. And I think maybe this is why God allows me to be in his word and study and teaching, because I get to be reminded every single week of God's promises and truths. And that changes everything. Verse 12. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. But we know from the Gospel of John that both Peter and John are the ones that ran there together. John says that when he saw, he believed. But when Peter saw, he marveled. He knew something happened. He saw the linens and the wrappings there in perfect condition. Now, if any of these apostles or disciples needed to be reminded of God's promises, it was definitely Peter. After all, Peter had just denied Jesus 3 times. After saying, "I will never deny you, Lord." And Jesus said, "By the time you hear the rooster crow a couple of times, you will have denied me 3 times." And sure enough, that night when Jesus was taken captive and Peter was following along in the crowds, and somebody said, "Hey, that's one of his disciples." "Oh, no, I don't know the guy. He did this 3 times. No, no." And can you imagine that crushed feeling he had of failing Jesus? If anybody here needed to be reminded of God's promises, it was Peter. And you know what? How many of you here today feel like you failed Jesus? How many of you today have a hard time coming to church because you feel like you failed Jesus? Yet you're here today because, like Peter, something inside of you knows that you need to be reminded of the resurrection. You need to be reminded of God's promises. No one in this room is perfect. Nobody in this room has enough of God's promises that they don't need to be reminded anymore. All of us, through trials, through tribulations, through life, we need to be reminded of God's Word. That's why we hold services every week. That's why we hold services throughout the week. We all need to be reminded of God's Word. And Jesus paints a clear picture of that in his ministry to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Verse 13, same chapter. Next verse. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained. They did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and you are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there these days?' And he said to them, 'He being Jesus.' 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him.'" These men were devastated. They were broken. They were confused. They were discouraged. The one they had been following was defeated. They didn't know what to think. They thought Jesus would save them, but he couldn't even save himself. So as Jesus approaches, and they don't recognize him, and Jesus says, "What things happen?" It's a curious question to ask. Obviously, Jesus knew exactly what things happened, right? Obviously, how could you forget the cross? How could you forget rising from the dead? You see, Jesus asked this question because he wanted to engage with them. He wants to engage with us. He wants to engage with you and me. Even as we're discouraged, frustrated, isn't it oftentimes that when things are going the worst, we stop engaging with him? So Jesus meets them where they're at. And you know, of all the places Jesus could be right now, he chose two men walking away. Walking down the street, walking home. Doesn't matter what your status is. Jesus wants to engage with you. That's the whole point of prayer. It is to have conversations with God. He knows exactly what the problem is. He knows what the pain is, but he wants to hear from you. Because once you begin to engage, then it becomes a conversation, then you're open to receiving. But if you're keeping it to yourself, you never get the opportunity to hear God's response to your issues, to your questions. That's why we pray. This is why we say Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And it's not more clear than it is in this passage. Verse 21, the disciples continued, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, a certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but to him they did not see. Very interesting that they knew exactly what happened that morning. They were there with them that morning, yet still, after hearing all that, they still chose to go home with the disciples. You see, some of us here today have heard a lot about Jesus. We've been going to church, we've heard all the stories, but you're still feeling hopeless. You're still feeling discouraged and upset. You've heard it all already, but nothing in your life has changed. Just like these two men, we've heard many, many promises. We've heard many of Jesus' teachings, yet things aren't looking so good. They were downcast and discouraged. And look at Jesus' response. Verse 25. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones." I say that to my kids pretty often. And my wife says that to me. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." How often can that statement refer to us? "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all of God's promises and all of God's words." When we get downcast and frustrated with the card we are being dealt in life, it is easy to lose sight of God's promises. It is easy to take matters into our own hands. It is easy to walk away defeated and head back home like these two guys are doing with their tail between their legs. We lose faith and we forget what we've been taught about God's Word. So Jesus' solution was to have a Bible study right there on the spot. He begins to expound on all the scriptures from Genesis through the prophets, everything concerning himself. You see, what they needed was a fresh understanding of the Word of God. And Jesus gave that understanding to them. He knew they too needed to be reminded of God's words and promises. And he did not just teach them doctrine or prophecy. He taught them the things concerning himself. You see, the key to understanding the Bible is to see Jesus Christ on every page and to hear from God in every verse. So what's God telling you right now? Are you listening for what God is telling you in this? What about the resurrection? Yes, he conquered death, but what's God telling you? I pray you would let that sink in this morning. It's one thing to go to church every Sunday and leave feeling good about yourself. It's quite another thing going to church and leave having heard from the one and only true and living God. As I was going through this message, I got the chills on more than one occasion. We've heard this Easter message every year for as long as we've been believers. And yet still, God has something fresh for me. And I pray that whatever that is for you guys, whether it's coming from these notes or God speaking to you, something entirely different. Hopefully he's not telling you that guy up there's a heretic, but hopefully he's talking to you uniquely and specifically to you. Verse 28. And then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, that being Jesus. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes opened. And they knew him. He vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened up the scriptures to us." You see, I think it's interesting that these men, well, that Jesus indicated in verse 28 and 29 that he was going to go on further. He indicated that. All right, see you guys later. I got to keep walking. And yet they said, please hang out with us. Come, have dinner with us. Please, we want to hear more. You see, these men had talked to Jesus. They had listened to Jesus. And they had been won by the Word of God without even knowing it was Jesus. You see, it was being reminded of God's promises that made their hearts burn. When we're reminded of God's promises, we catch that fire. We get encouraged. We get inspired. We want more. Have you ever left the church service and felt that sermon really minister to your heart? So you got up and thanked the pastor for such a great sermon. And I think it's great. You want to encourage us. You know, maybe sometimes you think we look a little bit downtrodden. You just want to make us feel good. But I tell you what, nothing blesses a pastor more that when you're just blessed by it and you praise God and you thank God. Because better he speak to you than anybody else down here speak to you. You see, Jesus, they didn't even know it was Jesus talking to them. And so my prayer is that Jesus is the one speaking to you as we go through the Word of God, that your hearts are burning because you're hearing from the one and only true and living God. The more we receive the Word of God, the more we want to invite the God of the Word into our lives. Jesus opened up the Scriptures to them, and then he opened their eyes so that they would recognize him, and they knew for themselves that Jesus was the Lord. As we invite the Holy Spirit in to open up the Scriptures to us, life will never be the same. All trials and tribulations will take on a new perspective. Your life will no longer be guided by those trials and tribulations. Who here is tired of having to respond and react to trials and tribulations? I, for one, am. I don't want my life to be guided by problems and trials and tribulations. My life should be guided by God's promises, whatever the world throws at us. I don't want to respond to what's happening here. I want to respond to what is happening here. And once I do that, God will guide us. His Word becomes a lamp to our feet, guiding us, directing us in everything we do. As we gather here celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, are you also celebrating the promises of God's truth? Verse 33, can you believe we've come this far in one chapter? How often do we cover this many passages, right? Praise the Lord. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. That's 7 miles of walking. I would have been, I think I'll just stay here in a minute to go tell the guys in the morning. It's been a long day. But they were so excited. They immediately left in the evening, walked up back another 7 miles to find the others and tell them. And so, verse 34, they found the 11 and everyone was gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. So we know that Jesus had appeared to Simon somewhere along the way, probably when he disappeared and left the guys. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, as they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Imagine that. Jesus just showing up right there. But they were terrified. They were frightened. Suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Why do doubts arise in your heart? How often has Jesus had to tell us that? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Why are you surprised? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Verse 40, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy, in other words, this is too good to be true, this can't be true, and they marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Man, sometimes Jesus' response and comments just make me go, what? You know, like, what things happened? And Jesus might have had a sense of humor or something like that. Well, what happened? Tell me about it. You know, and then they're all freaking out. And, look at the holes in my head. We've got cooking over there in the kitchen. right? And so they give him a piece of broilfish. You can imagine they're just like shaking and put it in front of him. Like, what's he going to do with it? Is he going to feed 5,000? And he just starts grubbing down. Just like me when you invite me over to one of your barbecues. Where's the beef? And some honeycomb.
Got a pesto sugar there.
And he took it and ate in their presence. This is amazing. So they were freaked out. They were scared. This has been one long day for everybody. They didn't know what to think. And Jesus comes and he shows them, look it, not only have I risen, I'm not a spirit. This is flesh. I can appear, disappear, you know, but look it, I still got the nail holes in my hands and in my feet. I want to eat with you. Do spirits want to kick back and have dinner with you? Do ghosts want to chill with you? Can you touch a ghost? You see, the Bible tells us that when we die, immediately we will be with God in spirit, but at some point along the way, we will be given these new physical bodies. And although we cannot explain how a human body can be solid flesh and bones and pass through closed doors and appear and disappear, or how it can be glorified and still have the marks of a cross, we do know this. One day, we shall be just like Him. We will be just like Him. If that does not give you hope, especially if you've got a bad back, you've got arthritis, one day we will be just like Him. We will be able to physically, tangibly see one another, love one another, hug one another, celebrate. This life ain't got nothing on us. This world doesn't have anything on us. The taxman has nothing on us. The bill collectors have nothing on us. Death has nothing on us.
He sits down with them in verse 44. And he said to them,
these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So what's he doing here?
He's going to remind them of God's promises.
He's going to remind them of God's words.
Verse 44, that he said to them,
these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Church, today, we are witnesses of these things. That commission is for all of us. So what does the resurrection mean to us? It means we are called to go out and preach repentance and remission of sins in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now that we've become witnesses to these things as well, we have a mission. We have a plan. We're not just to leave here and go look for Easter eggs and have a big barbecue.
Well, barbecue part's okay.
But you get what I'm saying. You get what Jesus is saying here. That's why we need to be reminded of His promises, of His truth. We need to be reminded of what we're learning, what we're being taught. That is what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the reassurance of God's promises. The resurrection was prophesied from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the prophets. That's what Jesus keeps saying over and over and over again. The things concerning Himself, God's promises. He's like, dude, I've been with you for like 3 years now. Come on. How often do we find ourselves in that place? Not even death could conquer Jesus. And if death could not conquer Jesus, what do we have to fear? It wouldn't be one thing for Jesus to, you know, not die, go on to be king of Jerusalem. That would have been great, fine and dandy, feeding 5,000 every day. We just wouldn't have to work anymore. But by dying on that cross, He proved that He wasn't just King of Israel. He was King of all creation. Not even death could keep Him. He is our King. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He reveals to us that death is not the end. It is only the beginning. And in the final verses of the Gospel of Luke, verse 49, he's going to give us one more promise. One more promise. Better not forget this, because he's been having to remind us of promises. So if you forget this one, that's on you, not me. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. See, the disciples went from the beginning of this chapter to being discouraged, upset, depressed, sad, hopeless, to worshiping him, filled with great joy, continuously meeting in the temple, praising and blessing God. It is amazing what being reminded of God's promises can do to the soul and the spirit of the believer. When we come in and we're reminded on Sundays, on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, at home in your time of devotion, when you're not just skimming through it, but you're taking time to hear from God, what that does for us, it gets us through the week, it gets us through the month, it gets us through trials, it gets us through hospital visits, it gets us through bill collector calls, it gets us through everything. And then Jesus makes one more promise. The promise of God the Father's promise. The Holy Spirit within us, giving us the power to do all things through Christ. You see, before you can share in that glorious experience, you have to commit your life to Jesus. You have to become one of his followers. You have to become one of his disciples. He said, preach the remittance of sins. Turn from those things that have been leading you away from God. What are those things that are getting in the way? What are the things that you can look back and say, well, that's the one thing that I've been failing Jesus at for a long time. Romans 2:23 says, for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, all of us. John 3:15 says, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, just as Jesus shows us in his glorious resurrection. I look forward to that. I look forward to that resurrected body. I look forward to seeing my loved ones who are no longer here on this earth. I look forward to not having back pain anymore. I look forward to not having to take a bunch of medicine every morning. And I look forward to no more medicine. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth, in other words, tell somebody so that way you're accountable and you have witnesses, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but more important, that you believe in your heart that God is raised you from the dead, you will be saved. So, if anyone here today or listening online has never made that full commitment, or we're not sure if you've ever wholeheartedly made that commitment, don't let another day go by. Today is everyone's opportunity to be changed forever. By believing in your heart, let's just say that today, for the first time, the resurrection has you more convinced that it was reality than ever before, the Holy Spirit's working in you. And if you've never really believed that and you've only heard it, then the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. And today would be the day. If that is you today, I'm going to ask that as we all bow our heads and close our eyes, not that we have to, but wouldn't want anybody to feel awkward, and pray with me that if there's anybody here who's never committed their life, to simply raise your hand while we're praying. We're going to pray for you. And if there's anybody here that needs prayer, that wants to be encouraged, we're going to pray after communion as well. Or just come up to one of us after the service. But rejoice, for I am with you always. I have risen, our Lord has said. Rejoice, he has conquered death. Praise God, hallelujah. We have the promise of victory. Let's pray. And again, if you've never given your life to Christ, as everyone bows their head and closes their eyes, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you as well. Everyone, please join me in praying. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the reminder of your promises. Thank you so much for your sacrifice, for the promise, the word you gave from the beginning of Genesis, that you were going to be the sacrifice. You were going to redeem man. You did have a plan. And you did all that so that we would know. That we would know that you're real. We would know that you're the ultimate promise keeper. That we would know that you are faithful, that you know the beginning and the end, and that we can trust you in all things. Father, you are glorified, and we want you to be glorified in our hearts and in our words and in our deeds, because you rose from the grave. And because of that, everything we read, everything we hear, we know is faithful and true. So Lord, continue to speak to us. Continue to embolden us. And if there's anybody here today, Lord, that you're talking to, that you want to have a deeper relationship with you, that you want to open their eyes and reveal Scripture to them, I pray that you would bless them, and that you would open their eyes and open their hearts to you. And for those who have committed your lives, but too feel discouraged, frustrated, depressed, upset, lacking, that today we would leave here filled with the excitement and joy of your promises, of what lies ahead. Lord, you are King. You are Savior. You are God. And we give you all the praise and glory long after death is conquered, for all the ages, for all eternity. We look forward to being with you forever and ever and ever and ever. And we can't wait to see what lies behind the other side. You say every new day is going to be, we're going to learn something new forever. Oh, God, help us to share that glorious good news with our loved ones so that we can experience forever with everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.